Take your Bible, if you would, please. Find them, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 will be our text this morning. I beg you, if you would, also to find two other passages of Scripture. Find, if you would, please, the third chapter of the book of James. James chapter number 3. Just put something there. We will be there in just a moment. Then I'd ask you to also put something in Acts chapter number 19. You're going to find Matthew 27 and open that and then put something in Acts chapter 19 and James chapter number 3. Pick up, if you would, please, Matthew chapter 27. We'll jump right into the chapter for our text. Begin, if we would, please, at verse number 22. Matthew 27, verse number 22. I appreciate hearing those pages turn. Here we go. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, would you read those four words out loud? "Let him be crucified." The governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." I draw your attention here in our place to start for the morning message because I'm preaching to you today a message entitled Confusion at the Cross. Confusion at the Cross. And I think I believe that verse 22 and verse 23 of Matthew 27 are great places to start. Because when you get to verse number 22 and verse number 23 of the book of Matthew, and you know the text and the context, really and truthfully, it blows your mind what is happening in these two verses. In these two verses, you have a multitude, by the Bible's own words, screaming at the top of their lungs, screaming almost out of their mind for the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. With venom, with anger, almost a foaming, a worked up situation. I paused on the two words, "they all say." Because when you know the history of the passage, you know that back over in chapter number 21, these same people, with a lot less venom, with a lot less anger, are again saying at the top of their lungs, this time it goes like, "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." When you think about the fact that the same folks that were lining the street that day, declaring the praise of Jesus, find themselves clustered around the cross in this moment with a vehement announcement of "Crucify the Lord Jesus Christ." Pastor, how in the world is that possible? It brings me to the subject of the message, which God has been laying on my heart all week. And I knew the direction of the message, and I knew the passage of the message, and that is all God would give me until this morning when he unfolded what he had for me to preach to you. I chose as the title what I believe to be God has given me the title of confusion at the cross. If ever there was a time where confusion is exposed in its danger, it's in Matthew chapter 27. If ever there is a time where spiritual confusion is exposed in its danger, it's Matthew chapter 27. I would submit to you that not only at the cross, but since the cross until this present day, humanity has suffered with confusion. And unless you underestimate the power of confusion and the danger of confusion, I will be very particular to preach it to you. We have come to a day that is Palm Sunday. I submit to you a day in which there is much confusion. It begins a week, which I would submit to you, as it was biblically, it is today, with much confusion. It will end at the first day of the next week with the empty tomb, which I submit to you was filled with confusion. So I can give you a glimpse of the power of confusion. Would you hold your hand here and find that 19th chapter of the book of Acts? In Acts chapter 19, there is a description here of a people confused. There's a description here of the power of that confusion. Pick up, if you would, right in the middle of our topic, verse number 28. And when they heard these sayings, those sayings would be an attack against Diana in a moment, their god. When they heard these sayings, they were full of what?
Wrath.
And cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And the whole city was filled with what?
Confusion.
And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they, what's that word?
Rush.
Now, we have a lot of law enforcement in this church, probably because we have a lot of lawbreakers in this church. Law enforcement deals with something called crowd control. I don't know if you've ever been inside a panicked crowd. It is a very dangerous place to be when a crowd is moving at a panic pace. When it begins to reach full panic, there is a rush. For example, if somebody came in and the building was on fire, we have doors, there would be a rush for the door. Most people underestimate the movement of a crowd unless you've ever been around it. And you would think that no matter how strong the crowd would rush, you would somehow have some individual ability to withstand the crowd or go against the crowd. But in reality, the movement of a crowd has the ability to pick you up and to push you or catch you in the rush. God forbid you fall down in the crowd. And people die by stampede. So we have in this passage, in Acts 19, a crowd that has been provoked to anger and wrath. A crowd that is crying out. And really and truthfully, they're doing this at the point of confusion. And the Bible says that confusion brought about a rush of the whole city. Keep reading. It talks about them rushing with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples suffered him not to go. Certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing, some another. Now watch this. For the assembly was what? Confused. Watch the description. The more part knew not wherefore they were come together. What are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Confusion had unleashed so powerfully upon that city that it literally picked up the inhabitants of the city, rushing them into the theater. So powerful was the rush that people got in there and said, "What are we doing in here?" The more part did not even know what was going on, but they were caught up in the rush. I submit to you that that is the exact same problem we have today when it comes to Jesus Christ. All around the person of Jesus, there is a city that is confused, a people that are confused. Some people know today's a religious holiday, so they get dressed up. It's a special day, and they have come. I got news for you. God has no interest in your religion, but he has a tremendous interest in a relationship with you. We have folks that will begin to structure themselves differently. We have people that will begin to look forward differently. And they know that it's a religious moment, but so much confusion surrounds spiritual things today that for the most part, people get picked up spiritually and they just get pushed by the crowd. And many of them don't even know what is going on. To put on top of that, go to that passage in James chapter number 3. And listen to what James says about confusion. It's powerful here. James chapter 3. Look, if you would, at verse number 16. For where envying and strife is, there is what? Confusion. So anytime you've got confusion in a relationship, anytime you've got confusion at your job, anytime you've got where things just seem to be out of order and you just can't put your finger on it, somebody's filled with envy and somebody's filled with strife. Envying and strife, there is confusion. Now watch. And with confusion, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every what? Evil work. Evil works under the direction of confusion. Now, praise God, we know according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that our God is not the author of confusion. But I submit to you, at the cross of Christ, there was confusion everywhere. I submit to you that confusion absolutely came with envy and strife. And I submit to you that confusion absolutely came from an evil direction with evil work. And I want to point it out to you this morning so that there's no confusion at the cross in the heart and mind of God's people here today. Pick up, if you would, please, in verse number 27, and we will go pretty quickly here. The Bible says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him, they put on him a scarlet robe. They plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit upon him, they took the reed, they smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink, praise the Lord. And they, what class? Crucified him. Hard to believe that you go from the entering of the Lord Jesus into the city of Jerusalem to the cross of Christ in just a few short moments. Hard to believe that there could be such a support for his coming in the name of the Lord, and at the same time, there would be a support for him to be crucified. How could this be the same people? It's very interesting what happened here. Go back, if you would, to verse number 20. In verse number 20, you get kind of an idea of the working here. But the chief priest and the elders persuaded the what class? The multitude. That they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The multitude was vulnerable to persuasion. And really and truthfully, what that persuasion brought about in the mind of the multitude was confusion. What confusion brought about to the multitude was probably hell. For example, go if you would please to verse number 35. And they crucified him. They parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. Verse 36 says, and sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 39, and they that passed by. Now, underline that, because they that passed by are the same people in verse number 22 that were shouting, crucify him. They are the same people in chapter 21 that were shouting, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I need you to see the progression of what is happening here. They go from praising, they go from being persuaded by the multitude, they go to a position of confusement in their mind. That confusement brings about a rush. That confusement brings about an anger. That confusement brings about a misunderstanding. And so there is the Lord Jesus. And as they pass by, where'd they go? Well, spiritually, most of them probably ended up where many folks today go, out of confusion. I submit to you that confusion is as evil and as powerful today as it ever has been. And you must understand that ultimately, confusion is what Satan brings to the heart and mind of people so that they will miss out on the truth of the Word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus. You do not want to be spiritually confused. Amen. What I am about to read to you, actually, and I had to ask the Lord to help me because it actually makes me physically mad. And I don't want to preach mad. I want to say at the beginning, I am not mad at anybody here or anybody in the Bible or anybody on the earth. I'm mad at one of my kids because they didn't put the dog away last night and it woke me up early, but I don't know which one it was. I know that I will not be able to contain the intensity of the moment here because I tried and I couldn't do it. I want to say at the outset, I'm not mad at the multitude. I'm going to preach a little bit like I'm mad at the multitude. I'm not mad at the multitude. I am mad at Satan because he is a liar and the father of all lies. And what he has done, what he did to these folks at the cross, He is doing to people today. And when I read what confusion brought about in these people, it's going to make even the child of God angry. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 39. And they that passed by, this is Jesus on the cross, reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. By the way, that's a damnable lie. Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with his scribes and elders said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and, oh yeah, we'll believe him then. Liar. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. By the way, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, would you say amen?
Amen.
They're passing by. They're looking at the Lord Jesus. They have been persuaded by the spiritual leadership with diabolical control. They have been brought to a point of confusion. And in their confusion, they walked right past the Redeemer of their life. They walked right past the Lord Jesus. They walked right past everything that they ever needed in their life. And most of them probably walked into a Christless eternity. And I'm telling you, we have people on our earth today that are so confused about Jesus Christ that they are literally walking right by him, wagging their heads, reviling him, and they're walking by the one that is the greatest friend they could ever know. Let me show you where this confusion began. The confusion begins with the declaration in verse number 40. There's an agenda here. The agenda is that they could not stand him to be the Son of God. They could not stand him to be the King of Israel. The multitude was persuaded by men that had an agenda. Those men that had an agenda received that agenda under the motivation of evil of Satan himself. And so their agenda as spiritual leaders was, we will not submit to you, Son of God. Matthew chapter 26, verse 63, I adjure thee by the living God. They were talking to the living God. Tell us if thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, thou sayest I am, and hereafter thou shalt see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, seated at the right hand of the Father. They went nuts at that. Who are they? The spiritual leaders of Israel. By the way, if you're a spiritual leader, you love Jesus. And so the multitude was manipulated and brought about confusion by leadership that had an agenda, men that would not submit to Jesus. I submit to you out there, don't let anybody with an agenda persuade you against Jesus. Find out for yourself. We're like robots. We let anybody tell us anything, and we just walk right on by. Man, my friend, it behooves you to get you a Bible. It behooves you to read. It behooves you to think. Don't let anybody with an agenda manipulate you into confusion. How are they manipulated? Verse number 40. Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it 3 days, save thyself. I don't have time to develop it. Write John chapter 2, verse number 19 down beside that. When Jesus made that statement, he did not say he would destroy the temple. He told them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it again. He also had told them about Titus coming earlier and all of the destruction there. And so remember now, these men with agenda had to destroy Jesus. It was their motivation to kill him. How were they going to kill him? False witness. So they brought man after man after man in to make a false witness against the Lord Jesus. None of those charges stuck. One of the most massive charges was the charge of blasphemy. You call yourself the Son of God. You said you would destroy the temple and build it again. He never said that. They were manipulating a lie. We have so many people in our world that are so confused about the Lord because they believe the lie that comes from an agenda or from the world. My friend, if you want to know the truth about Jesus, find it in the book of truth. You do not want to wake up in hell one day knowing you went there because you believed a lie about God. Well, he's not good. You're going to meet his beautiful, good face. He's not kind. You're going to see those kind hands. Well, he's not loving. You're going to see those scars. You're going to see him face to face. And every lie that has been told is going to disappear in the beauty of Jesus Christ. And if you are in hell believing a lie that somebody taught you that brought about confusion when you had the holy word of God, God help us. They were believing a lie. Watch the confusion unfold. These are people as they walk by the Lord Jesus. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, verse 42, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. Come down from the cross. This is what they didn't understand. They're walking by in confusion, and they're standing there wagging and wiling themselves, and they're saying, why don't you just come down off the cross? There's no reason for you to do that. Come on down. My friend, the cross was the whole reason he came. You have to understand the cross. The cross was the wage or the penalty where my sin was paid for. The cross is why he came in. We have a whole multitudes of people that no longer see any need for the cross. I'll just work my way to heaven. I'll be good enough to go to heaven. I'll give my way to go to heaven. I'll do whatever. And so all the way back at the cross, there was confusion. Why would you die on the cross? Come down from the cross. That same confusion is today. He could not come down. If he would have come down, he would not be God. I don't know about you, but I'm glad he didn't come down from the cross. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. I got news for you. He didn't come to save himself. He came to save you. That's what people don't understand. They don't understand why you would die, why you would give your life. They're standing there looking at him and they're thinking, man, you raised Lazarus, you raised the widow's son, you touched the leper and he became clean, you healed the blind men, you healed the deaf men, you saved thousands upon thousands of people. Why can't you save yourself? Because he didn't come to save himself. He came to save you. Why do I need saving, Pastor? Because you and I are under the condemnation of sin. You and I have need to be born again. You and I have transgressed the law. Jesus, if he wanted to, could have absolutely usurped the power and authority of God. He said, no man takes my life. They didn't put Jesus on that cross because Jesus was weak. Jesus went to that cross because he's meek as God. He said, no man takes my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. He's Almighty God. We have such a confusion today. I just don't understand why he would do this and not do this. He doesn't need to save himself. You're the one that needs saving. You're the one that needs to be redeemed. Oh, you do not want the light to go on after you've died. You want the light to come on now. He trusted in God. He trusted in God. What a confusing statement. Let him deliver him now. Oh, if he will have him. My friends, never, in all of eternity has the Father ever been disappointed in the Son? Why are you there? You said God would protect you. You said you were God. You said you were all of these things. You said you were trusting in God. Then surely God will deliver you. I mean, why would we believe in a God that wouldn't deliver his Son? Can you not understand the confusion? We have so many people today. They look at God and they don't understand evil in the world. They don't understand the hand of God. They don't understand the goodness or the kindness of God. And they look at God and they say, why would we want you, Jesus? I mean, if you're there, all of this is going on, then how good must God be? I mean, if you trusted in God and you're on the cross, then there's no hope for me. Why would I ever want God in my life? What they didn't know was that it was God that was smiting Jesus at that time. Who killed Jesus? Isaiah said he was stricken and smitten of who? God. Such confusion, right? So they come to the point, they put him on the cross at 9 a.m. From 9 a.m. to 12 o'clock, humanity took their shots at Jesus. At 12 o'clock, God turned out the lights. So dark they couldn't even move. From 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, God the Father judged Jesus Christ. So heinous, so horrific, he wouldn't let man look on it. The only glimpse you get of the heinousness of that is when you hear Jesus say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Pastor, was God disappointed with Jesus? My friend, God has given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. The confusion of that moment was, they were believing a lie about God persuaded upon them from agendaed men that were persuaded upon from the enemy that brought about a confusion. Now watch this. That literally picked them up and rushed them by the Lord. Those same people, Hosanna, crucify. Believing a lie. Not understanding why he went to the cross. Not understanding his purpose to save them. Not understanding who he was as God. Not understanding what God was doing. Doubting the very fact that he is the Son of God. And then here's the last lie they believed. And I'll be done. Look, if you would, please, at verse 42. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will, what? A lot of people live like that. A lot of people say, heal my son, and I'll believe upon you. Put my marriage back together, I'll believe upon you. Give world peace, I'll believe upon you. Make me rich, I'll believe upon you. Do something other than what you've already done. Yeah. You're being persuaded into a confused moment. You need to understand something. God has done all he has needed to do to get you to believe upon him. Belief is not something that God has to prove to you in some way. Belief is what God is requiring of you now. And so the agendaed men brought to the multitude, just do something other than what you've already done or who you are, and we will believe. Tell me that's not the way you're living right now. You know enough about your sin. You know enough about the Lord. You know enough about your Savior. Today's the day of salvation. Confusion at the cross, it was rampant. It was persuaded upon them, yet they believed it. They're not innocent. It was agended the way that there's an agenda today to keep people from the truth. They were believing a lie. They did not understand the cross. They didn't understand why Jesus had come to die. They didn't understand that he did it to save them. They didn't understand who he was as God and the pleasing of God and what all that took place there. And they absolutely could not understand that he was the Son of God. My friends, there is no reason, as long as there is this book, for anyone to be confused about who Jesus Christ is. Shall we pray?